friends, home stretch. I know you guys are hoping we talk a really long time with some really dense material. That's what you're hoping, but I'm going to disappoint you. We should keep it pretty short, and it should be kind of pretty practical, and then I think we're going to worship, and then we'll leave here, okay? So several years ago, actually it was 1995, which seems like four lifetimes ago. Pam and I were newlyweds. We went to Vancouver Island. Has anyone ever been there off the coast of Washington? Really? One person, two people. It's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Northwest, Pacific Northwest is just, it's just stunning. So green. And so we were there. Most people go to the island to look for or go see Bouchard Gardens, if you've ever heard of that world famous flower gardens. It's flower gardens, traditionally not my scene, but if you're there, you should probably go see it. So we're on the island, and we were looking for this little obscure thing we read about in a book. It was the stone house, and we brought a picture, but we're like driving around all over the island trying to find this little stone house here, and that's what we were looking for. We couldn't find it. But we were in the neighborhood. This is actually a scrapbook. This is from a scrapbook, like a legit physical scrapbook that's in my house that Pam made for us. So we're looking for this. We can't find that, but we do find this next slide here. I guess it's pretty tough. But that is probably the most stunning flower garden I've ever seen in my entire life. We're driving down the island with our friends, Kip and Tammy, and they're back there in the back right. This is the era of physical maps. Pam's looking at this map, trying to figure it out, and I'm just waiting in the car, and I look out and I see this. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I just get out of the car and I just walk over to the gate.
And you left the car in the road.
Just put it in park. Like, you guys figure it out. You know, let me know where we're gonna go. And I just stood there on that on that gate there, or the fence. Was just, you know, totally stalking these guys' garden. And then Pam came, our friends came, and so the four of us are lined up along this this little fence. And then, I don't know if you could see, let's see, the guy on the left there, and I think that's a girl on the right. So I didn't know it at the time. We actually looked up their names this year. Their names were Finn and Frida. But this was their flower garden. And so we walk up, we're stalking them, and they said, you know, hey, you guys want to come, like, just look around and get a tour? We're like, we'd love that. And so they walked us around their house. And, you know, it was
it doesn't do it justice.
Truly, I feel like I should have paid, like, $10 to get in their backyard. You know, it was that stunning. And they walked around and they told us, you know, all the different species and all the different things. I didn't know, you know, what any of that was. And then they talked about how they'd moved plants from one part of the garden because the light was different to over here. And when they did that, then that really bloomed even more. And they talked about different soil and things like that, you know. And it was absolutely stunning. And so much so that, I mean, it literally stopped us in our tracks. And I tell you that because, this is the funny part, the funniest part of the whole time. They're walking us around and just, you know, chat, and she stops like, oh my gosh. She goes, who's watching your garden? And so we lived in Houston at the time, and we're like, nobody. You know, that's why ours looks like ours does and why yours looks like yours. You know? But they couldn't even conceive of just like leaving their garden, you know, like who would tend to this thing? And no one was tending into ours, and that's why it looked like it did. But it didn't ever occur to me that happened by accident. Never occurred to me that happened by accident. It was very, very clear to us as they'd given us a tour of that whole garden that the garden they had was a perfect reflection of the amount of intentionality they had put into it, which then is a great analogy for marriages.
So what's the difference between a beautiful garden and one that's barely alive? What was the difference in Finn and Frida's in our flower beds back home in Houston? And what's the difference in a great marriage and just one that's okay? And we would put before you that intentionality is. So intentionality is doing something with purpose, design or deliberateness. I really like that word. So just being intentional, doing something with purpose, design, or being deliberate. And so just as John said, just as a garden or a flower bed perfectly reflects the amount of intentionality you put into it, so does our marriage. It reflects the level of intentionality that we put into it.
Yeah. And so we want to share with you just some of the things that we've done over 27 years, some of our rhythms, some of the ways that we've been intentional, okay? And so it's going to be, we're going to open up the fire hose, and we're just going to douse you guys, okay? And so your job is to just kind of like hang on and grab like one or two things. Either you go like, we could do that. Or even better, I think, is to put your brain on the mental treadmill and go, hey, what would it look like for us to be intentional in our marriage? What would be uniquely us? What would it look like for us to invest in our marriage? If we wanted to have, you know, metaphorically a beautiful marriage, what would we want to do? How would we want to do that? That's uniquely us. Pam and I are very different than you. And the things that are fun to us, the things that bring us together, are very, very different than the things that would be helpful for you guys, okay? So we'll share a few of these. And then I think tonight, whenever, it would be great. Take a good walk. What would it look like for us to create the marriage that we would be excited about, like that we would be proud to show other people? So for us, when we think about kind of dating, super easy when we were a double income, no kids, right? You know, it was just anything we want, anytime we want, unlimited energy, you know, and off we went. That was easy. Then we had some little humans, and that became much more difficult. We then had to be intentional about spending time together. So for us, what worked? When our kids were little, I was in seminary, is that once a week, it was Monday night, that would be the one time we would get food that we didn't prepare. We'd normally get it from a place called Central Market in Dallas. You can get the bagged meal heated up. And so Pam would kind of try to tire the kids out that day. I'd get home, you know, and we'd clock wind sprints in the back, you know, and just trying to wear them out. Maybe give them some Benadryl, like... Don't judge me. You've done it. And you guys,
melatonin gummies.
Yeah,
now.
You guys yes. Sleepy? Yeah, you should probably go to bed. So we put them down, and that was our time. Like in the week, we didn't have enough money for a babysitter, and we couldn't eat and have a babysitter, so we chose to eat during those times. And we would just sit there, and we would just catch up, and we would talk. And anything, any decisions we needed to make or any conversations we needed to have, we would just sit there. And we were also trying to be at our best. We'd go, hey, you know what? This is what we've been waiting a week to be together. Obviously, we'd spent more time together, but that's kind of our time. They were so simple. It was so simple. But I just remember that was, for us during that season, that's what it looked like. To be intentional.
Yeah, and sometimes during that, we would just kind of sit and visit. And then there was a season where we had some specific questions. Hey, what have I done this week that gave you life? What could I do to be more encouraging? Just kind of some real simple questions. And so that was helpful and intentional with that. One thing we were thinking about just as we looked, so again, this is like looking back over 27 years, but one year, John gave me this box for Christmas, like a nicer kind of photo box. And he said, hey, we're going to have a year of learning dates. And in this, we'll like put our mementos of those. And so that year, the focus was on kind of once a month, we would have kind of a bigger date. At this point, like we could do a babysitter or we swapped with friends. Like I would go, you know, sit with her kids. And then the next night she was going to be coming over to sit with my kids. And so the learning dates. So that year we learned to throw pottery. We still have them. They're hidden behind some picture frames because they're so
bad. They're not prominently displayed. That's correct.
We blew glass. That was amazing.
Yeah.
What else did we do? We did a cooking class. We were supposed to go sailing and get some sailing lessons, but like there were like torrential winds
and
Texas tornadoes coming that way. Yeah, so we still don't know how to sail. But but those were just fun experiences for us. And so just something new, kind of intentional with that year, was the learning dates.
Yeah.
Then another year we did, I don't know if it was the next year, but a few years later, we called them someday dates, S-O-M-E. So like you've been in an area for a while, you've said, hey, let's do that someday. And so we'd drive around Dallas and, hey, that's something, we should do that someday. And so a few of those things, we said, hey, now we're going to do it. And so there was this small airports south of Dallas that you could go get dinner and then go up like in a little what Cessna. Those called? A little good, Cessna, yeah. And just do a little 30-minute flyover of downtown. And so we had some coupons, some online codes or something like that. Always Groupon. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, but we always had, you know, something like that just to help with that. What else? There's a hotel in Dallas that literally has like a waterway, and they have like water gondolas, like you're pretend like you're in Venice. And it was pretty cheesy, but we said, hey, we'll do that someday. Once. We totally did it once. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else on those. But those were just helpful. It was just the intentionality of this year, our theme's going to be someday dates.
Yeah. So this year, or I guess probably 2 years ago, for us, we, you know, we've got kids in college, kids going to college, lots going on at the church. And so there were lots of little times we could spend with each other, but we tried to protect one day a month, and we called it our best of me dates. And so what we would do is I would come home at 5 o'clock, sometimes 5:30, but as close to 5 as I could. And then it was like we were on for the rest of the night. So I'd come home, I'd turn my phone off, give it to Pam, and we would have we would start our date, and we'd go do something fun, or we'd go out to eat. And we were together, and we had one at home, and it was like, hey, you're on your own. Don't call us, don't text us, you know, unless you're hemorrhaging or bleeding out somewhere. We don't want to hear from you. And so we would then just spend the whole night together, including, you know, going to bed, practicing our third session there. Okay, so that's what we would do. And then sometimes we would even like just grab a hotel and just spend, you know, the next day morning together. But the rule was, so a couple rules. One, the day before, we would have to go to bed early. So we treated it like we said, hey, if you had a big presentation at work that day, what would you do the day before, right? So you would, you'd probably do whatever your rhythm is, including go to bed early so that you had energy the next day. Because what was happening is, like, we'd come crashing into our date nights and was like, oh, you tired? I'm tired. You know, let's just drive through somewhere and go back, you know, and go to bed. It wasn't that bad, but we weren't saving energy for each other. And so we would just make sure, hey, we've got lots in the tank when we're there. And if we want to bring a gift, you could bring a gift that night, and you could start the date with a gift if you wanted to. But that was so fun for us because we just had something every month to look forward to. Like, we will be together. We will be at our absolute best. And they were really, really special nights. And so that was 2 years ago what we did. Yep.
Yep. And then another rhythm, as we kind of think about date nights, but as we think about rhythm, was just to try to get away one time a year. And so this is a great, just kind of write this down or think this, like, diverting daily, withdrawing weekly, and abandoning annually. So it's actually great for spiritual practice, just personally, like diverting daily, kind of withdrawing weekly with your time with the Lord, abandoning, just having maybe extended time with the Lord annually. It's also been a great rhythm for us, just marriage. And so, I mean, yes, depending on life stage, like, I mean, if we can get, you know, daily, if we can get just a 5-minute conversation, you know, that may be great at some stages of life. You know, at some point, withdraw weekly, whether it's, you know, just sitting at our kitchen table and while the kids are asleep, or it's like the best of us date nights. And then we try to get away, whether it's a weekend, and lots of times it was just, we couldn't afford anything more than just a night or two at a hotel. And just get away, and then there's been times we've done like bigger trips and that kind of thing. So when the kids were little, is Priceline still a thing where you go on and you say, this is how much I can spend, this is my cap right here? And we Priceline this hotel, and they kind of tell you the general part of town, and we drove up, and I think we just ran to the hotel and like locked the door. I mean, it was pretty scary.
People have been killed in the parking
exactly,
lot
yeah.
since
there
then.
May have been
true
like
story,
the chalk lines next to our I don't know car. But that was all we could afford at the time, and we had a great night. We slept. I think we just slept a lot.
You
we were so
sleep?
Tired. Yep. That's what I wanted to do. But so that, and then there's also our 20-year anniversary. We saved up, and we spent 7 days driving around Iceland, and we had the best time. And so that was just celebrating 20 years, looking ahead to what the next 20 years would look like. And so that was where, on that trip specifically, where we just said, okay, we're 7 years away from empty nest. What do we want our life to look like? And so as we were hiking, we just felt like the Lord was really clear on this. He doesn't always just give us this super clear word. I mean, we read his word and we pray, but like this was like almost audible. The Lord was like, here's what I kind of want you to be about. And so we just said, for the next 7 years, we want to be faithful to God, helpful to others, willing to take risks, and best friends when our kids leave the house. And so in the next 7 years, this is kind of the filter that we run run everything through. And so that, just that rhythm of getting away and having some extended time together, just help us kind of set the parameters for what our decision making, what we want our life to be about.
Yeah, that was actually really helpful. So it helped us make decisions. And a lot of times I'd come home and we would process, and Pam goes, "I think that's helpful to others and faithful to God. We should do that." I was like, "I don't want to." She said, "No, we agreed on the side of a mountain in Iceland. We said we're going to do this." And so so it's been really helpful. But there's been some things we've not done because we feel like that actually would form a wedge between us. It would pull us away from each other too much. We're not going to do that. If we're trying to be best friends when our kids leave the house, we're going to need to spend some time together, and we're going to need to do some different things together. And so that became like a really, really helpful grid for us. So, so just some things that some of our friends have done. I just think, again, uniquely you. One of our young couples that we invested in, they did 52 hikes in Dallas, which is like really hard to do because there's nothing to see in Dallas, like whatsoever. And we don't know how they pulled that off, but they, and actually they did travel sometimes and they would go like knock out four or five in a weekend. But for them, they like documented the whole thing. And that was how they spent that year just investing in each other, which was so them, right? You might hate hiking, but for them, that was really fun. One of our friends, they would date and they would pick a color, a number, and a letter, and they would take turns giving that to each other, and they had to plan a date around that every time, so they never knew what was coming. And so if it was blue, you know, and five, and you know, something, I just remember they went to the Blue Goose, which is a restaurant, that's a Mexican restaurant. I remember that, and they did like, they had five different stops, and then there was an L, and that was their dessert place. And so they had so much fun kind of doing that. That was uniquely them. You can buy a season tickets to, there's plays in Dallas. I don't really like them. Pam loves them. But if you buy the block,
musicals.
Yes, I'm sorry. They're all the same to me. No, yeah, but yeah.
they are not the same.
They're equally as bad. But yes. But if you buy the block, like you got, it's done for you, right? You know where you're going to be on
those.
Well,
if you spend the money, our friends are like, we spent the money, we're going to be there. Like, exactly, we are blocking right. This day when Hamilton or whatever is coming to town, we are going.
Yep. We've seen lots of friends take up new hobbies together, whatever, again, is uniquely them attending Re-Engage with each other. Yeah. We know a couple that wrote a note. I promise this is true. They wrote a note to each other every single day.
That's not us. We're not secretly saying we know a couple.
Not
us.
Yeah, that's not right. Us. Like a humble brag. No,
nope,
not us.
We did but, not do that.
And they just committed to it.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, if we want to live a marriage of intentionality, this is the way we choose to do it. And I was like, dude. Again, whatever works for you.
I also say like crowdsourcing this, like asking your friends, hey, what are some things you guys have done? Just some ideas. And so just kind of, you know, hey, maybe in your life group or your community group, hey, everybody, you know, throw out an idea for just a fun date. And just so again, you crowdsource lots of ideas. You know, moms, we're like asking other moms for things. So this could be another one that you bring into that.
Yeah. So last year, we kind of said, hey, let's try some tiny habits. Let's take this little challenge and let's just pick a few things each week that we are going to do. You want to talk about some of the things that we tried?
Yeah. So we, like, what we would say is, hey, we're going to try like two or three. We're going to have this list of tiny habits, and we're going to pick two or three, and we're going to try them for 21 days. And then at the end of that, hey, what was helpful? What wasn't? Maybe slough one off and add another one. So we did a 6-second kiss.
We talked about it this morning.
Oh,
we
yeah.
talked about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we get?
Yeah.
It's good. It's longer than like just a peck. So it's good.
Can lead to other things.
That's right. Or not.
Always,
or it's just
or
a kiss.
Not.
Either one.
Yep.
Specific affirmations. Hey, not just you're great, but like I specifically think you did great with this. The honor list. I think that was really helpful. So you write down 5 or 6 things that you like, not just love, but like really specific that you like about your spouse, and then read that every day. Ask your spouse a high or low each day. Like take a walk at night if you could. Like springtime in Dallas is really the only time that's pretty there. And so
both days.
Yeah, the 2 days of spring and 2 days of fall if it's not too hot or freezing. And so just taking a walk in the evening. So I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah, memorize. We didn't, this one we didn't do, but you could memorize a verse together.
Yeah.
You know, just be together. Even last night, Pam said, hey, will you just come sit by me? You know, and I was like, well, I don't want to, but that's what you want, and we'll be close. I didn't say that. It was, that's way overplayed. That was... I think it was. I just stood next to you. I'd love some space is what went through my head. But my wife wants me to sit by her, so I did.
Yes, you did.
But you could kind of build that into your rhythm. You know, cooking dinner together, sending an encouraging text. You could work out together if you're going to work out anyway. You can do that together. Do a chore together. Read a marriage devotional. You got a great how to pray. Together, so just whatever it was, but we would just try to kind of create this, you know, little recipe that was working for us.
Oh, and making the bed. That
was a big deal to Pam. Make the bed together.
Well, because and we had to both stop in the mornings. Yep. While we were making it, we would just talk 30 seconds about what our day was going to look like. Yep. So we were in the same place in the mornings.
Yes. Yes.
That was helpful to me.
It was. Yeah.
Pointless to you. I mean, the bed part. The bed part. Not the being together. So, all those pillows.
And so
you
I
know,
don't
the whole
know.
Joke. What in the world with all the pillows?
Yeah. I feel like we're getting blank stares. That's okay. like, what are we even talking about?
The tiny habits.
Yeah, I think. So if some of this stuff you just go like, that's not us. Totally fine. Just do the thing that would. You know, that would intentionally create the marriage that you would be excited about, whatever that is. And don't apologize for it, and don't feel weird if no one else does it. Like, but a great marriage will not accidentally happen. It just won't. And you can pick out, I think sometimes we don't feel like doing these things, and here's what I've found, is that loving actions bring about loving feelings. A lot of times we wait to feel loving before we do the actions, and I've found if we do the actions, the feelings will follow. Not always, but very often. And when there's something about, hey, I'm investing in my marriage. I'm actively seeking to serve, to love, to encourage my spouse. You find yourself looking at the exact same person going, man, I really like these guys. I really like this person. I'm so glad I'm married. The exact same person. And the only thing that changed is that you started investing in your relationship, or you started to encourage them or love them or serve them, and those actions will follow you. Whatever it is for you, whatever it is for you, a lifetime from here on out just stacking up small actions, I think will lead to a marriage you'll be really, really excited about. So what happens if your spouse doesn't want to play along? They're sitting there and they're like, I'm just out on all of that, like all of it, categorically, not doing it, okay? Here's what's great. That, you know, if you guys ever got those games and it says number of players, you know, 1 to 6 or whatever. Well, everything, when we talk about intentionality, the game works better. Most games, they have an optimal number of players. Clearly, optimal number of players on the side of this box is 2. However, one person can actually play it. One person can actually play it. And as Pam said last night, if you want a great marriage, you draw a circle around yourself and you fix everybody inside the circle. And it's actually possible to be intentional in your marriage, even if your spouse won't play along. Now, don't ever put yourself in a one-down position. Don't ever be abused. Don't ever, you know, be blamed. Don't allow yourself to be blamed for all that. Obviously not, right? But hey, if 2 people won't pray, one person can. If 2 people won't be kind, one person can be kind. If 2 people won't plan anything in the marriage and one person does, then I would just submit to you that's much better than not playing the game at all. Okay, and you will like your marriage, you will like your metaphorical garden much more if somebody is investing it. 2's way better, always. Mm-hmm. But there will be some seasons, sometimes, when one person might need to play the game a little bit more themselves.
Yeah. Here's a great prayer to pray. God, show me one way to love my spouse today and give me the courage to do whatever you show me. But Lord, just show me one way. Doesn't matter what they do, this is just me. What is one way I can love my spouse, and then just give me the courage to do whatever you show me. You know, and John's right, like results may vary, even if it's just you doing this, but intentionality is really often contagious. And so just continue just the way John talked about this morning with the gospel, the way the Lord just is intentional and pursues us, just intentionally love your spouse. And very often that is contagious.
Yeah. And this would be and being intentional, this would be an example of that. Like you get a whole bunch of points for being here. And so where's Casey at? Is that right? Did he already leave? Where are you at, brother? So yeah, 6 years in a row. Come on, man. So for these guys, this is on the calendar. This is what they do. This is one of the ways that it's a done for you piece of intentionality. And so you do this, You go home, you have some conversations around this, you scope out the next 3 to 6 months. That absolutely counts, and it's a great way to be intentional. So whatever it is that works for you. And a lot of times, I don't know, in your church, we have a lot of single people in our church. A lot of people, honestly, who want to be married. And this is really weird. I was talking to one of the gals on staff. She goes, John, sometimes it's so bad that when I'm in a small group with women and one of them starts to date another guy, we actively are trying to subvert this thing because we're jealous, and if they leave, we have to make new friends. Like, it's rough out there, effectively is what she's saying. And there's not a lot of great guys. And so they're on all the sides trying to do all the things, and still they're still single, and they want to be married. And I think about the fact that, I've been given a gift. And am I stewarding the gift? I've got the thing that a lot of my friends want. And I think about Proverbs 18:22, such a great verse. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and has received favor from the Lord. I've been given a good gift and I've received favor from the Lord, and I need to steward it rather than just kind of taking it for granted. Because I guarantee you, if I die and one of those other single jokers in our body marries Pam, he's going to crush it. Right, he's going to be so excited. I married formerly Pam McGee, whatever her name will be, and he'll be elated and he'll bring his A game. And sometimes I'm like, I'm married to Pam McGee, right? And I probably will be tomorrow, regardless of what I do. And I think about that, and I go, am I stewarding the incredible gift that God's given me? Am I investing in it? So, any other thoughts about? I was going to talk about our flower garden. Oh, yeah. Anything other ideas about intentionality?
No. Yeah, I don't want to overwhelm. Okay. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
We could give you 20 more, and you can also brainstorm, and we can hit you with more later. But
yes.
27 years. It's just fun. But
yes.
Just put intentional thought into your marriage. It's fun. Yeah. It's worth it.
Do what's uniquely
fun for you.
Yeah. So we, Pam and I love to travel, and so our motto has been modest home, big adventure, And so we don't, our house is just very modest. But
same
we've taken
one
some,
for 20 years. keep thinking we'll redo the bathrooms and redo the kitchen, and it's the same.
But we've got some buckets full of just amazing memories, And we were talking, some of you guys have farms, well, you're not going to Iceland, for a week. That's just not going to happen. So you're going to have to find another way. To be intentional, and you're going to do things that are uniquely you. So Pam and I this fall, we're going to go hike Kilimanjaro in Africa, so 20,000 feet, and it was really fun. We talked to some of our friends, I think we've got four or five other couples coming, but we threw it out to probably 20 of our friends, and we thought they were all going to just jump on it, that's amazing, we're in, and most of the emails came back you guys are crazy. That sounds terrible, why would you do that? And it was just such a, I couldn't believe it. I was just stunned that doesn't sound amazing, that won't drive them together. Pam and I will feel so close. After that, we'll suffer, up the mountain together, and we'll stand, we'll catch a sunrise, and it'll be just jet fuel for about 6 months for us. I know us, but apparently, a lot of couples might, risk divorce, literally, at the end. I actually heard a story of a newlywed couple. They were hiking Kilimanjaro, and this dude had always wanted to do it, and he went up, and his wife got sick. And rather than going down, he told her, you could go down if you want. I'm going to the top, and left his new wife there. And I don't know, let some, I don't even know how it went down. But yeah, I don't think it worked out well for either of them. So I won't do that.
Yes,
well,
thank you.
I'm not planning on it anyway. So,
but that is fun for us
back
and
to the garden.
Five other couples, but not
back
all
to the garden.
Yes.
Let's just land the plane.
Yeah.
So we actually had, we've got a little garden out in front of our house, flower beds, better said, in front of our house. So in Dallas, probably here, you put some flowers out. It's hot, it's dry, it's pretty tough in Dallas. So years ago, we're standing in front of our house and we're looking at our garden, and I grab the kids together and I go, hey guys, look at that flower garden. Someday, we're going to win yard of the month. And they laughed. They laughed so hard. And I laughed, and because it was pretty crazy to think about.
That's not it.
That's Finn and Freitas. That's okay. You can put that one up there. You can put that back up there.
That's still the
that
one.
That's the one in Vancouver. So so I told them
we should have
no resemblance.
No,
none whatsoever. But yeah. We went out there. We pulled up. We had to pull up bushes and trees. We blew up our sprinkler system and then had to repair that in the midst of that, you know, and just, it's just, Pam planted a little Japanese maple. It's getting bigger, 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 bigger. And everything's get, like all the weeds are out. Flower beds are built up. And guys, 2 months ago, we won Yard of the Month.
Come on. Yes.
Actually, that's not true. I just want to, I want to know what that would feel like. It's going to feel good. We didn't, okay?
We did not.
But it's so much better. Like, it was kind of borderline. It wasn't embarrassing. It was close. It's like, close. I bet you on our street, yeah, if we had to vote,
we have a bunch of original owners, and they're out there in their yards.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
They don't have jobs. So that's right. They're all retired. Right. They're crushing it. Yeah. But we probably had, you know, it would have been the worst or second, third worst in there. We've moved into kind of like the middle of the pack. We're not bringing down property values anymore, which actually was a really big, as a, you know, a numerical jump. We made a massive one the last few years. And I think we will, you know, keep trending that way. But when the garden was in pretty bad shape, it never occurred to me that, like, how that happened. It was crystal clear to me. I didn't get my coffee in the morning and just, like, go out and, like, yell at my garden, like, hey, what's your problem, you know? Like, it looks like it looks because of how much intentionality I put into it. It's crystal clear to me, crystal clear. There's no guesswork to it. And most of us, for our marriages, it's the same way. And what's really fun is we get to create the marriage that we want. You can plant anything you want. I can plant anything I want in my garden, in our garden, and we can fertilize it or not, water it or not. We can do whatever we want. We don't have to ask anybody, I think, within reason, right? And the same thing for you in your marriage. What kind of marriage do you want? Okay, great. Like, go build that. Go create that. There's a price you're going to have to pay. Go pay that price in terms of time, energy, intentionality, prayer, repentance. Right? You're going to have to pay that price, but if that's the marriage you want, you can just go get it. Like, literally, go chase it down. So we went and looked. I was like, I bet you this is a big deal, this garden thing that which was like 27 years ago. This year we went and looked it up, and sure enough, it was like they're actually in the paper for this garden. So that rock house that I showed you actually is tied to it. We never even saw the rock house because of this one. And apparently, this, check this out. We weren't the only ones that stopped. When tour buses would come to the island, they would literally stop at their house, at Ben and Frieda's house. They would drive a 55-passenger bus, and they would stop just to look at this couple's garden. It was an absolute showstopper. And it gave that couple so much joy. They had invested in it. It showed, and it was a showstopper and was a real blessing to everybody else. And friends, I really do think our marriages can be the same way. You're not accidentally going to have a great marriage. It just does not work that way. But I think if you're intentional, and I think if you work hard, I think you'll have a marriage that you're really proud of, marriage that will give you a lot of life and joy, and a marriage that really will be a blessing to your kids, to your friends, this community, and will bring glory to God. Okay? So think about your next step. Think about what it would look like to be intentional. And thank you so much for letting us share with you. Let us pray for you before we go to worship. You want to pray?
Yeah, God, you are good, and you are the original thinker of marriage and all that goes with it, and we know that when you designed it, it was a good thing. And so just remind each of us here of your plan and your design for marriage. Give us just that vision that you have for our marriages that can be so fun and enjoyable for us, and most of all, just the end goal of bringing glory to you and blessing these generations. And so these couples here, wherever they're at, Lord, I love and I'm so grateful that you're intentional, that you know every one of us and exactly where we are with our marriages. So I just pray that these couples would leave with hope, just a little bit of just the next step going forward, that you would just help them to just take the next step for them, reach out to the body of Christ, the church, or to friends if they need help, and that you would just bring blessings on their marriages and on their families because of this weekend and the intentionality they put in it to be together and pursue you. So just thank you. We love you. We're grateful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.